Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run down the field and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch!
Nom, 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 nom.
Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get me the ball.
That's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
This meeting is being recorded.
Oh, what the hell? I've never heard that
before. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. Welcome in to 11 Personnel. This meeting is being recorded. We are recording a podcast where we will discuss Kentucky football, SEC football, and everything in between. I'm Nick Roush, joined as always by Adam Luckett. Wow, that was weird. I guess they don't want people to be surreptitiously recorded.
Do we have? Are we quietly having an online show that I did not know about?
I think that this is an effort to make sure that Shannon Sharp doesn't Julio Jones somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Even though I think all of that was staged, I'm sure they're like, okay, we're tired of people being recorded. And I don't know why I use the word surreptitiously. That word is only used when somebody is recorded when they don't know. That's it. That it's never used in any other time in American language.
That show gets off the rails, man. They talk like just in crazy. There was a weird topic they talked about a couple weeks ago. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, they're just some of the stuff that goes on between those two is just, hey, it's good TV. Like if you're into that, because they are
shock. Yeah.
They are entertaining.
For shock.
Right.
And I actually blocked the show's Twitter account because they used to promote a bunch of stuff and it would drive me nuts, but I still follow Skip because Skip has such wild takes that I need. And there's a lot of all caps tweets too. So I need those every once in a while, especially when it comes to NBA, because I don't really care. So getting an all take, LeBron is a fraud. It delights me. It really does.
Yeah, this is their peak for sure. NBA playoffs. Yeah, this is when all the takes get unleashed.
Hey, you know what though? It's also peak for the summer radio, summer football. I mean,
hockey season.
Oh, and we have got the best of the best talking season topics right now at a market. Primetime summer radio.
Yes, with season totals coming out. Our good friends at DraftKings. And then the Athlon released their college football preview, which is always good.
First
to
of
get
the
some
season.
Information out of. Right. The first, always around Memorial Day. They get out. For sure, about a month earlier than Phil Steele.
Well, that's what I learned in journalism school. Like it doesn't matter if you're the best, you just need to be first. And that's what Athlon's mastered. They aren't the best, but they're first, as indicative by some of the errors they made when rolling it out. The big one, look at our all SEC football teams, and they just left off third and fourth team offense. Just forgot to add them. Forgot to copy and paste those over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you had to buy the print edition to get it.
The third and fourth team, which I hear buying the print edition is really easy,
buddy. I have ordered these. Like I've ordered Phil Steele and Athlon online before, and what I've learned is it takes a while to get them, and then there's been bad shipping stories across the country about people getting stuff late. So I was like, I'm just going to buy it when it comes out. And usually these things, they say it comes out on a certain date. Usually it hits the shelves early. So Sunday night, I go out, go to Kroger, go to Walmart. No one has it. I'm like, oh, no big deal. Next day, I'm like, I'll go to a bookstore. I'll go to a bookstore once a year.
Surely a bookstore of all places would have books, magazines.
So I go to Barnes & Noble and I go to the magazine section. They have Athlon has – they have the national preview, but then they have an SEC regional preview, which is kind of, it's kind of the same magazine. They just go a little bit deeper than, I mean, it's just a way to sell a different magazine, but yes. I get both of them.
Of course. They got you.
SEC one is there. So I'm like, of course they have to have the national one. Like, why, how would they just have one? So I'm looking around. I'm like, where is this? Am I not seeing anything? I spoke with a girl that worked there and God bless her, she had no idea what I was talking about.
She's used to just like pointing somebody in the right direction of Dickens or the latest, you know, New York Times bestseller. And old Luckett comes strolling in asking for a magazine that they have, just a different version of it.
Yeah, I believe her name was Jess. So I was like, hey there, Jess. Like, this is a magazine you all get every year. Like, there's two editions. There's a national version, SEC version. You'll have this one out. They should have came together. Like, I knew, like, I know how the magazine shipping works, but I'm like, yeah, they just come together. And she's like, she tried to look it up in her system, and she was like, well, we have a bunch of inventory, but magazines, we can't track who comes and what. So write your name down on this list, so we'll get you on the call list. So Adam Luckett was on the call list at Barnes & Noble. So anyway, in my head, I'm like, there's no way they don't, like, somebody has to have these magazines. So I go to two other bookstores.
Two other bookstores? There's three bookstores still in existence in the city of Louisville?
There's more than you think. I went to Books A Million, and like a there's a Half Price thing over there on.
Love the Half Price books.
They didn't have anything, but they did have Moneyball, so I went ahead and bought Moneyball. It's gonna be that's on my reading list for the summer. And then I go to Books A Million, and hear this out. Not only they have the SEC version, each SEC version has a cover of the team. So all 14 schools get a cover. Pascal's on Kentucky's cover. Now they have Kentucky's cover. They also have the Tennessee regional version, but they didn't have the national magazine out.
Oh gosh. Wait, who's on the Tennessee cover?
Oh, one of the receivers, Jalen Hyatt.
Okay.
And so
Hyatt blowing his dumb face.
And then I spoke with you yesterday, and you're like, oh, Drew just went to Walmart and got the magazine today.
It took 15 minutes.
Dadgummit. And then I went to Walmart and I scooped it up yesterday, which was Tuesday, May 25th. So yeah, that was my story about trying to buy a college football preview magazine.
All right, let's do the tally. 1, 2, 3, 7 different places you went to find this magazine. And how much extra content is in the national magazine versus the SEC?
Well, I mean, it just has every team. So, like, you know, the SEC is not good enough for me. I gotta have the whole pie.
You gotta know why Stanford only has a 3.5 win total.
Yeah, I need to know it. And I also like really these, you know, you want to see the All-American teams and all that, and they tend to have new coach rankings, coordinator rankings, and. Like I do like these anonymous quotes from the coaches. Like, you have to take them with a grain of salt, but you can it kind of gives a different prism to look at how people inside, closer in the football industry, kind of see teams and coaches and all that. And I think, you know, you can get some, it can kind of confirm some stuff you may have thought or believe in, or it can kind of maybe think, oh, I didn't really think about that. So that's my biggest draw to them, I would say. And then Phil Steele, the draw is it's just
so much information.
It's a kind of a cult following now. Like, you buy it every year, you put it on the bookshelf.
It's a good reference material.
It is. And I do like, he has the spreads from like 5-6 years back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a really good reference point I use all season.
Comes in handy. It's easily organized. Like, you know, you're just comfortable with it. And it really is like an old school football dictionary. But, like, I do want to go through the anonymous quotes where, you know, we can mention, you know, we can get into the all SEC teams and all American stuff, kind of where they went wrong and whatnot. But at first, I want to go through the coaches' quotes, because you're right. And it's one of my favorite summer radio topics, especially trying to decipher who is it that's behind these quotes, trying to read between the lines. And I think, like, you listen to enough press conferences where you might have a better idea than most. In Mark Stoops's, I think it paints a clear picture of kind of what the fans think as well, because some of them are, I mean, hell, we'll just go through them, because you have the first line, like, really consistent, maybe the most steady in our league. They're good recruiters and they have a nice system in place, which that's very generic, you know, kind of a nice way to say it. Others are, oh man, they got a great defensive coordinator. They're mean on defense. And, you know what? This change on offense, it could be a real big deal for them. You know, Eddie Graham was a little vanilla, and now they're going to run more play action, more outside zone. It could be a lot. And that's kind of what a lot of Kentucky fans are saying. But on the flip side was this, and I think this is what every skeptic is thinking. The real question is if they're going to open the offense up, since that held them back last season. Even really the last few. How much more are they going to throw the ball? Mark's basically built a really smart, really disciplined Big Ten West type of program with a lot of Ohio guys and some SEC skilled position talent. They have a culture, and they don't really stray from it, so I can't imagine them taking a lot of downfield shots. This coach isn't buying that Stoops is hitting the reset button with the offense. And Luckett, I do think that's a fair – I think that's a fair assessment in some regards.
That was going to be exactly what I said. I think that's fair. I think that's how I'm walking into it. You can run this offense and throw and be effective and efficient and explosive and only throw it 18 to 22 times a game. If you time up your play action shots right, if you get vertical at the right times, you don't need to throw it 40 times. But like, you know, if how Stoops going to be on that? I think this move shows he wants to continue to run the ball, protect the defense. He just wants to have some semblance of a productive passing game. And so we're going to see how it's all going to play out. And that's the question I have. Like, we don't really know what the offense is going to look like. So I think that's a fair question. How much is he going to be willing to really open it up because they have a formula in place and it's worked and it's won a lot of games, but they also realize they do need to score more points and get more explosive plays. And the easiest way to do that is with the passing game. But I do think Stoops, like this move as well, the wide zone, like there's more boom and bust to it. Like Kentucky's going to have more negative run plays than they've had the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, because some of those guys are
you can shoot gaps on this. You can guess right it. As
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You can guess right as a defense, and you can get some tackles for loss. But also, you can guess wrong, and then you have a huge alley where big plays can happen.
Right.
So that alone is going to make the offense more explosive, and then if you get any type of play action pass element with it. That's really the move I think Stoops thinks. I think he still wants to run the ball majority of the time, still wants to eat clock, shorten the game, but they just want to get more explosive. I think this is what he thought was the best way to do it, and I think that's the plan. Now we'll see how open the playbook's going to get. But, yeah, I don't expect them to veer too far from being a – I still think they're going to be a run-heavy approach. It's just going to be a little bit more passing than we've seen. You know, 2019, you can't get more run-heavy than that,
obviously,
they did. But I think they probably want to run 65 plays in a game, I would imagine. I would say they probably want, 38 runs, 23 passes. I think that's kind of their sweet spot somewhere along. And if you have a big lead, then it gets up to maybe 45-15 or, whatever the math is, 45-20, I guess, equals 65. But, yeah, I just think we'll see. I still think they have their identity. They just want to get a little bit more explosive, and I think he thinks this is the best way to do it.
And that's why it's great to look at all of these comments in totality because, somebody might say, Big Ten West, what the hell? That's a backhanded compliment. But if you're making explosive plays and still throwing for 225 yards,
where the yards per attempt number comes in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it doesn't matter if you throw it 30 times or 22 times or 23, so – and it brings me to what I was talking to somebody the other day about, they got to see some of the second scrimmage, and the quote was, man, I didn't think we could complete 61-yard passes, which that's really, and that's where that offense we talked about last week in Grant's first year was successful because they timed up their shots well. And they made big plays, and they frustrated defenses. And that was the other thing the person who watched the second scrimmage said was, it's been a long time since I saw the defense this frustrated. And they're not used to it. They're used to owning those kind of scrimmages. And I think that's good for the program.
When you look at the top two candidates to be the quarterbacks, Gatewood and Will Levis, they both have rocket launchers attached to their right shoulder. They both can push and drive the ball vertically. So, like, that's going to be a big part of the passing game. Not only the issue I have is that I think Robinson and Ali are both short to intermediate receivers. I don't think they're guys that you want running deep. Yeah. I don't think you want them running deep a lot. So you got to find who's going to be that vertical threat in the offense. That's the huge question. Who is it?
Who's the bidet?
Because that's really what they're looking for. I think they can have a good intermediate short passing game with the tight ends, with Robinson and Ali. It's just finding who can be that vertical threat, which has been the question since Jeff Bidette left. That's a question we've asked every offseason the last 5 years now.
It's true. True. Man, you said something that set off a bell in my head. Oh, you mentioned the rocket launchers. We're going to get more into the anonymous coaching stuff because I do find it interesting what they say about, you know, some of UK's opponents, particularly Louisville, Scott and his tots. But the rocket launcher, look it, I loved that we got Bruce Feldman writing features on Will Levis in the offseason. This dude is just competing to be the starting quarterback of Kentucky. Hadn't even stepped foot on campus. And he's headlining an article about a guy. I mean, it was more about – the focus was more on this biomechanics guy and how he's changing the way people throw, yada, yada, yada. But, like, his other client was Bo freaking Nix, who's SEC poster child. Dad was a hero back in the 90s. Like, this dude is just – I mean, a media member's dream, and yet Levis gets the spotlight. Now, granted, Levis has been working with the guy a little bit longer. Yeah. There's more tangible evidence there. But still, the fact that he was the featured protagonist, if you will, and I wouldn't say the knight in shining armor, but like the example to be held in high regard is Will Levis. And you got Levis talking about how, you know, you can – I'm more accurate, but I can even feel more zip on the ball. Like, dude, that's every Kentucky fan's dream ahead of a quarterback competition. We haven't had something like this injected into a quarterback competition maybe ever. Maybe since Lorenzen and Dusty Bonner back in 2000. And Dusty was just like, all right, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I think Woodson Pulley there for an offseason was a pretty big –
but not like, you didn't have Bruce Feldman
right,
profiling
right.
Curtis Pulley.
I mean, if you go back to after they hired Cohen, Feldman, he joined up with Kyle Tucker, but he wrote a big post on how Cohen's going to be the next Joe Brady. And Bruce was the guy who wrote the first big Joe Brady story. He wrote it for The Athletic. It was like, Ed Orgeron's trying this out. This guy is a whiz kid by all accounts. Like, you get to, like, if LSU makes a jump, it's going to be because of this guy. And then, you know, the rest. And it seems like he might be trying to find the next. That's what that smells like to me.
Hey, I'm all for it, though.
But
it
works. Yeah, for Kentucky, it's definitely good.
See,
so, for Levis, man, it's just weird because you dig into him a little bit. Like, he was just a random mid 3-star prospect, didn't have a ton of interest out of Connecticut, random place for a quarterback. He goes to Penn State, you know, overachieves his recruiting ranking, plays some, but passing numbers weren't great. They use him as a glorified Wildcat quarterback. He had multiple offensive coordinators at Penn State. And then like, we get that TikTok of him working out in, like, some random gym.
Throwing darts, yeah.
And then I'm watching that, and I'm like, good Lord. Like, do I need to watch? Like, what did I miss on tape? Like, why is that ball exploding out of his hand? So what what you got is, like, this kid's raw, but he's got, like, he's been in the bright lights.
You know, he's got a lot of stuff to like.
Yeah. He's,
you know,
that quarterback runs
on it.
Right. The quarterback run stuff is something you can, like, okay. Like, he takes hits. He beat all that.
He's
obviously played big games.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, well, if he gets in the right system and they use him the correct way, like the 49ers draft Trey Lance, okay, just to use this as a comparison. Lance has, like, accuracy issues, but he can run the ball. You can move him on the boots, do a lot of different things with him. You can do QB run game, and then he's just got, like, he's got a big arm. He can stretch the field vertically, and I think both Gatewood and Levis kind of fit that mold. I think there's huge accuracy questions with both of them. But they add a QB run element you can use behind a good offensive line in a good running game, and then they have arms to really stretch that field vertically. And so how you scheme it up, if you can scheme it up well, I think they both can be successful. And that's can Cohen do it? Well, I mean, we're going to find out. But I think that's kind of the blueprint, is that wide zone play action game, use some of that athleticism, and ask them throw it 18 to 22 times a game, and then pitch in 3-4-5 design QB carries.
Well, and for the Kentucky fan that's looking to convince themselves, you go back to the biomechanics article, and you're like, oh gosh, so this is how he becomes more accurate. And a contrarian would say, well, you know what? We've heard this mumbo jumbo before. Matt Pilgrim was tearing it up in summer workouts. You know, like we're going to throw it to the tight ends. Like I can understand why you'd be skeptical, but just the fact that, you know, Feldman has a track record with this kind of stuff. And even if it, you know, you don't expect anybody to be a second Joe Brady, but if you just get a shell of that, you're going to be much better in the passing game at Kentucky. You just have to be. It can't get worse.
I mean, at this point, for Kentucky, it's all about can they find – like, they've gotten to a point on defense where I think you can expect a top 40 defense every year around there in top half of the – top six, top seven, top eight in the SEC. It's – can they find that for the offense? If you can put two top 40 groups together and you're solid in special teams – those are top 25, top 20 teams every year. And then if you catch lightning in the bottle on either side on offense or defense, and you take a big jump like we saw the 2018 team do and become a top 10 unit, that's when then you can have the special season. So that's really what they're looking for. They got to the point where the offense was just bringing them down. And I think recruiting was huge in that. Mm-hmm. It was hurt. They just weren't getting the job done recruiting on that side. And so that's why the change was made, and that's what they're shooting for, and we'll see how it plays out this season.
Yeah, I just love that we're getting, you know, we're getting plenty of fodder. This is May. And
it's interesting because, like, there's some people building it up, but then you look at, like, these projections. Athlon had Kentucky 7-5, 3-5. Season total 6.5. I think you see some prognosticators are pumping the brakes on it. They just don't know what it's going to look like.
No, they're just hesitant. They're putting UK in the same. You know, it's a safe bet. Let's put UK in the Liberty Bowl. Let's have them 7-5, fourth in the SEC East. Like that's a nice safe bet. And I'm sure when we get closer to SEC media days, there's going to be one of those guys there is going to have a hot take that Kentucky is going to win the SEC East or something. Like, they're your dark horse team. You know, like, we're going to get a take out there because, you know, you can pitch that, if you will. But, at this point, you got to see it to believe it.
Yeah, right.
But you also got to remember, too, and this is where I want to get back to those anonymous quotes, is Kentucky doesn't have to be the best Kentucky team. They've just got to be better than who they're playing. And when you read what people are saying about Kentucky, there's a lot of more question marks surrounding their opponents. And even though they're not in the SEC, I want to start with the Louisville Cardinals, because there was a great quote about Scott Satterfield. And I believe it was something along the lines of, he's trying to bring App State to the city, the all shucks works in some places, and it's like, well, it didn't look like that all shucks is working out too well down on Floyd Street.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull that up right here, but yeah, I've dug it at all the SEC and some other conferences. I finished ACC, most of Big Ten. The most interesting stuff, I think, quotes wise, has been with Louisville.
Yeah, here it is. The biggest issues here seem off the field. I think they haven't really established who they are as a culture with those players. I think they tried to bring App to Louisville, and that hasn't worked out. Scott talking to South Carolina didn't help either. When this program is good, it's because they bring in a lot of raw talent and let them play. He's trying to create something different.
Yeah, that raw talent to me that's recruiting South Florida, South Georgia, and just bringing those guys up and just putting them out there. It's what they did under Strong. It's what Bobby did to a certain extent. And that's like Satterfield has gotten like this last class, they dug into the Carolinas, they recruited Illinois. They're not a threat in state recruiting. It's just some warning signs there.
Yeah, which even somebody else mentioned that they're struggling right in their own state. And it's even more odd because you bring Court Denison in to go, you know, raise Cain down in Florida and bring those guys in, and they haven't. Hasn't really been a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just been a weird tenure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know what? We were ahead of the curve. So I've seen some folks over there, some Louisville fans, some Louisville media that are starting to come around. But hey, just remember, we were first in the winners of the first battle in the war against Scott Satterfield.
Yes, we were on the right side early, it seems like. And just the whole first year, it's like he wins ACC Coach of the Year. They overachieve. But in hindsight, they had NFL players at the skill talent, and then a superstar left tackle who's going to be like a multi-time All Pro. Mekhi Becton there for the Jets.
Yeah,
and the defense has just been bad. They just don't have the talent on defense. The recruiting results have been pretty meh.
Ho-hum.
And then the one thing I can't get over is just that. The whole L's down thing was just like, dude, what are you doing? Like, are you for real right now?
Being a tattletale.
Yeah, are you for real? It's like a parent going to college and finding out his son's drinking beer and like getting mad at him. Like, what are you doing, man? That was just so odd.
That's their warning sign.
And then he tried to play it off, and like, it would have been better if he like went to this press conference and just went on a rant how, you know, screw them, they're, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it just, yeah. And then last year happened, and then
it was
he flirted with South, how he handled the entire South Carolina thing was weird. How he was like, Chubba Purdy was flipping to Florida State and he was like taking pictures at a Luke Combs concert.
Hey, but Luke Combs, he's a big deal.
Yeah. I just, man, it's just been, there was just some weird, like, I think some weird moments. And then all his, like, he flirts with that and then his staff leaves. Like, every guy he brought with him pretty much from App outside the defense coordinator, it's dipped.
And you know what? His peers see that. They're going to strike. Louisville had a 6.5 win total. Ugh. And you know what? Unlike UK, you didn't get much juice on the under.
Yeah. The thing is, playing the ACC, so wins are there, but the non-con slate is tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we've talked about before, but it's going to be a long year. Going to be a long year at the Palace, formerly known as Papa John's. But we need to get into. I'm curious, like, because I haven't seen this. I did not go to 17 different places to find a magazine. So I'm curious if there were any other quotes that really popped. Like, did anybody have anything to say about Shane Beamer? Because I feel like there's not even one remarkable thing to say about him other than, oh, he's Frank's kid.
The big thing with them was like, they have no idea what the offense is going to look like, which I agree. Like Satterfield's coming in. He's been an offensive coordinator in college before.
Scott Satterfield is going to South Carolina.
Marcus Satterfield, who came from the Panthers under Joe Brady for like a year. Before that, he was Matt Rhule's offensive coordinator at Temple, but Matt Rhule didn't bring him to Baylor.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, like, what is that? What are they going to look like and all that? And then, like, they're thin. I watched the spring game, and I agree with it. This. They are very thin at receiver. Like, they are more thin. Kentucky is in much, much better shape at receiver than South Carolina is. Like, their top receiver might be a guy they move from quarterback.
Oh, that one guy who played.
The Kerryon Joyner. Yeah.
Yeah.
He made a couple catches against Kentucky.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
And then their next two receivers might be like FCS transfers. And so like they're just in trouble at receiver and quarterback. They've named Luke Doty the starter. They're all in on him. He was a top 100 recruit, but the little I've seen of him, I just don't know if he's ready. And I don't know what the offense is going to look like. He looks like a quarterback that should be kind of in like a spread option type attack. Mm-hmm. Something like maybe what Rich Robber run or what we saw Coastal Carolina run last year.
So maybe that's what they do. They don't have any receivers. You just got to do the
– Yeah, but there's where Satterfield comes, I don't think he has any – like it's a lot of – you know, it's going to be a pro-style thing with RPO mixed in and all that.
With pieces that don't mix.
And I watched the spring game. They did a lot of different stuff. I mean, they had, you know, zone reads, but they got under center and they were using a fullback.
Mm.
So, like, I just don't know. So that was really the big thing there. He said the transfer portal killed them, and, you know, we'll see how they – but they're from my personal opinion, they're just in tough shape.
One of the favorite things I saw during spring game season was Tennessee goes 3-and-out in its opening drive and loses 11 yards. So, yeah. Is anybody buying any Josh Heupel hype? Because the coaching rankings aren't really buying it either, even though he did have some decent – I mean, they backslid a little bit last year, but he had success at Central Florida.
The big thing with the Tennessee thing was the defense will be bad, so get ready. Scheme-wise, if they can find the quarterback that can throw it deep, they've got some, I think, receivers that could possibly do some damage, some young guys that'll be like from that 2020 class. So they could be a fun team, like maybe getting some track meets, but their defense, due to those transfers, they are going to be in tough shape on defense, I think. And then offensively, it's just, well, you know, can it work?
He's at
Toa.
Yeah.
Alabama.
I mean, because Alabama needed Henry Toa. I mean, my God. Rich get richer.
Yep. They lost him. They lost their other starting linebacker, Quavarius Crouch, to Michigan State. They lost probably their best safety, or one of their most talented safeties, went to Oklahoma. And the DeAndre Johnson, their best pass rusher, went to Miami. The list goes on and on. So, like, the talent-wise, I mean, this is just total rebuild on defense. And, like, remember the defense coordinator search? They could not find the defense coordinator.
Because nobody wanted that. And not only that roster, but that to have to coach with Heupel's scheme. Like, that's hard.
NCAA, right.
That's hard.
Clouds looming too, the NCAA.
Yeah, yeah. People forget that. I want you all to circle your calendars. Mark it for October 16th. So we'll be in Athens that weekend, Luckett. And so that could be a big weekend for Kentucky, but it also might be fun if UK is, I don't know, 3:30 or 7 o'clock kick, and we start the day with Tennessee, Ole Miss, and a track meet at Neon Stadium.
Yeah, please give us that at noon.
That would be a lot of fun to watch. Or, I mean, hell, the last time we were in Athens was the game that Jeremy Pruitt tried to murder Jarrett Garantano, and we were watching that at the bar, and everybody there was just laughing. I mean, just having so much fun watching Tennessee get just ever so close to thinking that they could possibly beat Alabama, only to have it slip through their hands.
And another interesting quote I said, like, Heupel went into UCF, and he had the speed. Right away. Like, he had more speed than the rest of the league. It's not the case at Tennessee, and building that could be a lot tougher at Tennessee than, because you're never going to have more athletes on the perimeter than
what you have at Georgia or
a good chunk of the guys you're playing with. But yeah, definitely going to be a tough year for them.
So I know Missouri, you know, we don't need to do every team UK plays, but I did want to get to Missouri just because, as we'll see, all of the gambling stuff, everybody's just got them, you know, penciled in as that third spot, as the next ones behind Florida, Georgia. I don't quite get it. Maybe everybody's just drinking the Drinkwitz Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. What's the deal? Are the coaches buying it?
No, not really. Like, I was expecting more like praise and love. They said he did a good job of kind of adjusting to personnel wise, like running stuff that they could succeed with. So I think they were impressed with that. And I think recruiting wise, they are making some noise. Like, they're getting into the St. Louis and they're competing for some blue chip guys. He's already
probably go Big Ten, you know?
Yeah. He's already got them to a level higher than Odom had them at recruiting wise. So that's a good thing, I think, long-term for them. But yeah, I think this Missouri hype is very media driven. I think they're right to be a team that's to be faded. I just think it's just gotten too out of control. Yes. They were 5-5 in the SEC, Nick, but they won every close game and they lost a ton of blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, you go and look at their schedule. Every close or kind of coin flip game, they won.
Especially that really dumb one against LSU. That game was particularly stupid.
Like, then Arkansas was crazy back and forth. Yeah. The Kentucky game was crazy in a totally different way.
In a much more boring way.
Yeah, it just they won a lot of close. And then South Carolina, like, they played a bad South Carolina team, and South Carolina hung around with them. Like, they only won that game 17-10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same South Carolina team that Kentucky – that Georgia ran for 500 yards against. Kentucky just torched and could have – Kentucky, if you remember, they went out just – they threw the ball all over the place in that game. They're trying to get the pass game going, I guess, Terry's last game. But they really – they could have ran for 450. Like, Rodriguez could have ran for 270 yards in that game.
Lessons learned. Lessons learned. I want to get to the win totals up next, but first, I got to remind all of our listeners out there that Father's Day is right around the corner, which means you got to celebrate Dad. As a father, I can speak personally that it's good to treat to get treated on Father's Day. And for all the dads out there, you got to get a gift for a hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The Lawnmower 4.0. Get it 20% off with free shipping by using the code ROUSH, R-O-U-S-H, at manscaped.com. Whether it's using that lawnmower to, you know, get the hair off his back, or, you know, they have different lengths, so you can even use it as a hair trimmer if you like, for the hair on top of your head or for your beard. Either way, the Lawnmower 4.0 will take care of you. It's been upgraded with the best blades in the business to make sure that you don't get any cuts anywhere. It also has, this is really cool, like, you've got a wireless charging system that uses electromagnetic induction, which can help the battery length last longer. Yes. They have a wireless charging ball trimmer. That's a real thing now. Science in the 21st century is incredible. And here's the other thing too. Dads out there, you know, we get weird nose hair, like ear hair. And when I say nose hair, I mean like hair on the tip of your nose. You just get old and you get hair everywhere. Well, the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer is the best nose hair trimmer on the market and the perfect gift for your pops. Manscaped also has products like cologne, the Crop Mop, Ball Wipes, Crop Reviver, Ball Toner, and Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. And for the females listening, you'll appreciate this part. Manscaped products are cruelty-free, paraben-free, dye-free, and vegan. So get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ROUSH. And don't forget that you came from your dad's balls. This year, show your original home some love with Manscaped. Man, they always find a way to slip in something in there that you just never see coming.
I imagine working for the Manscaped creative team is just a barrel of laughs.
Oh, goodness. Those advertising meetings, they're a hoot.
There's stuff on their boards in there. I just imagine they're just in there laughing.
Oh, just having a great old time. Your dad will have a great time too. Manscaped.com, use the promo code ROUSH. So, look, at this point of the year, you know, we're used to Athlon in May, not used to win totals. Win totals is more of a mid to late June, around 4th of July. And shout out to DraftKings for not only getting ahead of the curve to get us talking, but also normally these come from like South Points or some book that you have to be in Vegas to place the bets. You can go on your phone right now in basically every border state to Kentucky, because we have idiots running our state that won't make it legal here. But you can just take a little hop across the border and make these wagers yourself. And that's why it's so readily available. Within hours of us sharing the win total on KentuckySportsRadio.com, the juice on the over went from -160 to -200. So now, in order to win $100, you got to bet $200. Not as much bang for your buck, even though the path to 7 wins is just, I mean, a cakewalk. Like, ooh, you have to win at South Carolina and at Vandy, and then you win a toss up between, you know, Missouri at home, at Mississippi State. Like, you just have to win one between Missouri at home, Florida at home, LSU at home, and at Mississippi State. Just one of those four games to get to 7.
Yeah.
It's not difficult at all.
Yeah. We'll just break it down right quick. Okay. 3 non-conference games outside of Louisville. One FCS Chattanooga. The other two, Louisiana Monroe, first game of the year. New Mexico State, 11th game of the year. Those are maybe the two worst teams in FBS.
Yeah, you're winning by a million.
You cannot get a better non-conference slate. You don't even, like, I don't think, like, even those teams competing with Kentucky shouldn't even be in the equation.
The only worst team you could find is UMass.
Yeah. And maybe UConn.
Yeah.
So that's three right there, okay?
Go to Louisville. Satterfield might not be on the sideline by then.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they could implode. You know, you just don't know. I mean, it's a road game, but who knows? But either way, like, here's where I got, like, Florida, LSU, Georgia. Let's just throw them out. Three teams but more talented, Kentucky. Let's just say those are losses. Just, you know. So that's 3-3 right now.
And this is you being, like, pessimistic, too.
Right. Yeah. So the rest, you got six games, the rest of your schedule, that are coin flip games. You can make an argument Kentucky will be favorite in every one of them. And I'm even including Vandy in that. So let's take Vandy out of this, because we all think it's going to be year zero. They're going to be pretty bad. You can see social media wise, they're pushing really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to what I think Kentucky did their first year with Stoops. They know what's coming. They just got to get as much positive publicity out now as they can. So I think, so that's another win. So that's four wins right there. So then you got five games, really. You've got at South Carolina. You've got at Mississippi State, Tennessee at home, at Louisville. So now what's tough about that is all those are on the road. I think that's part of the reason they may have, the line, the total may have been
started
so bad.
It. Yeah.
Right. But, like, if you go 3-2 in those games, that's seven wins. And that's even, like, that's before you get to the three, Florida, LSU right there.
Yeah.
So really this line to me, it should have been seven and a half. I think seven's probably the right number. That's probably where you should have set it at.
So my question to you, Luckett, what, because it's going to, when the juice is that much, it's going to move up. And whenever it comes out elsewhere, it'll be at seven or
when
seven
Caesars,
and a half.
Yeah, when Caesars gives out theirs, like in June, like some of the more official, William Hill and all them in Vegas.
Yeah.
When they release theirs, it's going to be seven. Maybe now, seven and a half. I would say seven.
Are you still confident in taking an over if it's at seven or seven and a half? Will you still take it? I should ask you that. Are you going to put your money where your mouth is if it's at seven or
yeah,
seven?
Yeah, if it's
half?
Seven, the play is the over. Like, you're either pushing or you're getting paid. I don't see them going 6-6 unless injuries just went crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Seven and a half is – that's the stay away to me. I just think when I bet these season totals, it's –
You don't like the missing out on a push.
Right. Yeah, I want to get my money back or I want to win. Like, I want to find value there where I think there's two options. Or if I write out the schedule and there's more than a game cushion between the total, like if I have a team at 8-4 and their total 6.5, or vice versa, that's going to be a play for me every time. But yeah, I think seven's the right number. Seven in the over, I would lean over. 7.5 would just feels like that's very good. Like that's how you know it's a good line when you don't want to touch it.
Right, right.
But I think it's more about schedule than anything with Kentucky. Like, if Kentucky's just a top 50 team, I think the floor is 7-5. I really do with this schedule. I think it's just it's a really great schedule, and it's why if things bounce right, they can have, a really good season.
It goes back to Kentucky doesn't need to be the best Kentucky. They just got to be better than who they're playing, you know?
Yeah. And Missouri was the other game I didn't throw in there. So you have two at home, and then you have at Mississippi State, at Louisville, at South Carolina. So those are the five games that'll tell the tale of the season.
It's going to be bad, you know?
Yeah.
And
in South Carolina, you get them the week after they play Georgia on the road.
Yeah, yeah. It's and that's another part of the schedule that we don't think about as much, but a lot of the tough games, the toss-ups, even the most difficult games, the opponents are sandwiched between – UK's a sandwich spot. They're a trap game. So if you figure if Kentucky's playing in, you know, three or four of those quote-unquote trap games where – that team is either coming off of a big game, a big rivalry game, a game against somebody good, or they're getting ready to play a really good team, they're going to get one or two of them at least, right? Like, just I don't know. Maybe that's the old meatball in me that just expects you to get teams at the right time. But that's kind of how things are lining up.
The one thing with this for me, like, Kentucky gets Georgia and LSU the week after they play Auburn. I don't think Auburn's going to be all that good. So I don't.
Yeah, but me, they got that, a new like, quarterback. Yeah, they got a new quarterback though.
We'll see. But yeah, that kind of concerns me. The two big games I think late, like Mississippi State and Tennessee back to back. That's a worry spot, obviously. Mississippi State or Tennessee comes off the bye before they come to Kentucky.
That could be their one game a year. They're trying to get some late season momentum, even though they've stuck it up all year.
Before maybe the tank really comes in. While Mississippi State, they go by Bama at Vandy, Kentucky at home. So I mean, yeah, we'll see. Those are the two games. Like if you split those, I think you're in pretty good shape overall.
I don't know how much, you know, we usually do a pretty in-depth win total podcast. I didn't know if you just had any right off the jump that really popped to you.
I haven't really dug into it all that much yet. I was really waiting. Like, I think we're going to get like those Caesars ones late in the year.
Yeah.
And those will probably be the one to go off of.
Yeah. And those are,
and there's still the transfer portal still popping and all that. I would like to, let's just wait a little bit for that. But yeah, that's definitely going to be, maybe that's going to be like a July podcast before we go to media days.
Right. I'm not going to lie. I'm tempted to just, I know the value isn't great, but like, it feels like a sure thing to just load up while it's at 6.5, even if it is at -200, you know, I mean, it's just,
yeah. Clemson was at 11.5 and they opened with Georgia. And they've ran the table twice with Dabo, but they've randomly lost some ACC games. Now they've won like 28 ACC games in a row. So like, it's a first game bet. Like if you think Georgia's going to win, go ahead and lock them in for the under. But yeah, I mean even Alabama 11.5. That's high, man.
It's DraftKings Alabama's, trying to get you.
Yeah, Alabama's probably a safer bet than Clemson on that.
You know what, too?
That might be a fun little parlay. Just go ahead and double up them on the under.
It's great marketing on DraftKings' part.
Dude. Oh, it's very smart.
It's basically like free advertising for them. And they might not come out ahead, dollars and cents. But, I mean, I'm sure that the DraftKings odds have been talked about countless times this week on the radio and stations across the South. You know,
Indiana at 8. Give me that under. I'll tell you that right now. Coastal Carolina 10, that's a lot. Like it was 1 year they kind of jumped up. Just me looking at it.
They're the chance, though.
Right.
Mickey Shane. Kansas
is at 1.
So is
they play one FCS team. Can they pick somebody off?
That was the same thing with UMass.
That's a push to over.
Really bad. I mean. Mm-hmm. Like I think their over under was at 0.5, and they play an FCS team, or they play two FCS teams, and their over under is at 1.5.
Right, I'm just kind of
they're assuming a loss to an FCS.
Yeah, I'm just kind of scrolling through these.
Oh, Jiminy Christ!
Missouri 7. That's pushed under to me. NC State 6. I think they're going to be better than that. Win the ACC, it might be an over. North Carolina 10. That's a lot. Northwestern 6.5. It's almost an automatic overplay. You got to ride Pat Fitzgerald. They win 7-8 games every year. Your cousin Jeff at 5. Big year for Jeff.
Yeah.
They need to get that over.
They really do.
Tennessee 6. That's an under for sure.
Man. So Bill Connolly is starting to put some stuff out.
Yeah.
He just shared the win probability, according to SP Plus, for UConn football this year. They have a 60% win probability against Holy Cross, 50% against UMass. So good for them. The UConns and the UMass, that's a matchup waiting to happen. They only have a 39% chance to win against Yale.
UConn-UMass is a game?
UConn-UMass is a football game.
That's a degenerate special, man.
Oh, man, that is going to be the what's the Tom Fornelli, the bottom 10 game of the year of the century or whatever he does.
But, yeah, whatever.
Oh man, that is.
Woo. You know, it's going to be on some weird streaming.
It'll be ESPN Plus
with 12 people there. cold, what, cold October day or so.
Oh yeah. October 16th, yeah. It's going to be snow on the ground or no, cold rain. And just
if I'm at home, that's getting screen time.
Oh, it'll be, we're going to start our day with Tennessee Ole Miss scoring 7,000 points and then Yale,
UConn. Purdue Northwestern, cold day in West Lafayette. And then, UConn.
Oh, man. Like we talked about a lot of different stuff around the league. Trey, listener of the show, slid into our DMs and asked to talk about some potential road games. And we've talked about these destinations previously, but I wanted to bring it back up again because I know some folks are starting to, you know, we're back. We've got Phil at the PGA getting swarmed by spectators. The garden's packed, you know. Downs after dark, there's people drunk getting carried out of the paddock.
I don't know if you're following
kids at dollar beers.
Yeah, our Tyler will know about this, but like the NHL, like the Hurricanes and Predators apparently have been letting more and more people in their game because they're in a tight series right now. I think it's 3-2 after a Hurricanes won in overtime. And so, like, Nashville is letting more people in for this game, and Carolina's letting more in. So they're slowly
elevating
like,
it back and
forth. Right. Yeah.
The Oak Ridge boys, they're coming to State Fair. We're back. So we're back to hitting the road. And Trey was wanting to know, he's contemplating making some road trips. Just what are the best venues, you know, whether city, stadium, attractions? And the first time Kentucky goes on the road will be to Columbia. It's a trip I love to make every year. You're actually going this year. I have actually some plans that weekend turning 30, so I'm going to be out. But Columbia, I'm going to start off by saying, if you go, there's a sandwich shop called Groucho's, and I'm very mad because my brother's eating it for lunch and order the STP, and they've got this sauce. And my mouth's watering just thinking about it. It's so good. It's so good. You dip it in the
sauce. I just wrote that down. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to check that one out.
I mean, whether it's hangover or the meal before, it is to die for. Now, Columbia as a – like, I would rank it as some of the worst fans.
Strong Louisville vibes in Columbia, South Carolina, as far as game day setup.
Very strong Louisville vibes. Not only because the fans are kind of nasty, you probably won't get this that this year because they stink. But the
fairgrounds,
you have the
there's a lot of parking lots.
There's train tracks. They have the little cabooses there.
Mm-hmm.
But then the nightlife there is I would say it's one of the tops in the SEC.
But Saturday, at least when I went, the watering holes closed early.
That's true. They do. They're not.
So if you're going to go, Friday night's the night to go out when you go down there.
And that in general is an SEC rule of thumb. Most places aren't open late. That, you know, they got you got to go to church the next morning. So with the exception being Athens. Athens stays open pretty late. But I would rate their nightlife right up there because you have two different parts. You can go to Five Points. That's very collegey.
Yes.
And then you have the kind of downtown, I forget the street's name, but they've got like a wide street where there's a tin roof.
That's what I was going to say. Tin roof,
piano bar.
Yeah.
There's a hole in the wall. God, I hate that. There's a hole in the wall behind an oyster bar. In the oyster bar, they'll play jazz and you can play the game, dad or girlfriend, which is that's a classic game. And then if you walk out of the oyster bar, there's a hole in the wall that has a shuffleboard table and natty stubby bottles for $1. That place is a freaking gold mine.
It's a gem right there.
Love it. Love it.
That's the best. When you go to SEC towns, finding places like that,
I think
are the best. Yeah. If you can find them, that's how you're going to have the most fun.
I would actually put Columbia of the four, you know, it's right up there. If you've never been to Georgia, and if you want to get a win, like going and watching a win on the road, like it does make the trip much better.
Absolutely, no doubt.
So I would put it right up there.
Yeah.
This year because going to the game, the stadium's fun. I'm sure it'll be rocking because it's an early game, and they'll some people who think they're good. Like going to Vanderbilt, it's fun because you can drink beers and go to Nashville. But like
Midtown Nashville's fun.
But like the Cup Snake thing, you know, like that's. That's the game experience. It's that stadium freaking stinks.
The game day experience, it does. It's like, nothing like these other three places.
The Wendy's is the place that's popping before the game. You know, like my God. So
it's all what you're looking for. Like if you're looking for a win, like South Carolina, if you're looking for a win in game day atmosphere, South Carolina, Mississippi State makes the most sense.
South Carolina is going to be, I think that's the place to go to.
Weather-wise, Mississippi State, October 30th might be the best. It's Halloween weekend in a college town. Ooh, yeah, you're, in the point. South, you're probably getting 60-degree game.
Man, in Starkville, too, I know you haven't been. As bad as the cowbells can be, and I do recommend bringing earplugs, like seriously, because it just it's a lot. But as bad as the town might be, like as little as it has to offer, like you probably are going to stay in Columbus or Tupelo.
Yeah, it's expensive to stay in Starkville.
Yeah, because there's not much there, and there's not much to do before and after. So really, you're going for the campus is actually kind of pretty. And like they have really nice facilities. There's just nothing else there.
Right.
So
those two, but like Georgia, man, is from a game standpoint, like Kentucky's probably going to be a heavy dog, but you look at that, if Kentucky gets hot at the beginning, that's going to be a big game. It's in the middle of October, which is a perfect time to make these road trips, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's the best college town I've ever been to. Like going to school at Georgia seems like it'd be like the most fun experience you could have as an 18 to 21 year old. Like there's bars everywhere. There's restaurants. Great. I mean, yeah, there's even the stadium's kind of cool. The atmosphere is really good.
Oh man, the pregame. And we did get that taken from us with the rain last time. Yeah. Because
the tailgate setup doesn't look like super great because it's kind of similar to Florida, as it's the stadium is such in like the heart of campus. Everybody's like posted up at like school buildings and all that stuff. But
but it is pretty because the stadium is built in between two hills and they've kind of just built into the side of it.
Right.
And so like to see the drum line, you know, from above where you're kind of at the top of the first bowl and you're looking down right. And they're playing their way in from the bookstore. Like it's really cool. It is really cool. So
if you're looking for outside of the game, the most fun you're going to have to me is in Athens.
So Tyler Thompson, her beer of choice. So Athens has
breweries. They have all kinds of microbreweries and stuff down there too, if you're into that. Right.
Yeah, it's very, they have a hip area. So Creature Comforts is a pretty cool spot. And Tyler's beer of choice is Tropicalia IPA. She loads up on it and brings it home. She likes it so much. So that part's cool. The Georgia Theater. I've always wanted to go to a show at the Georgia Theater because it's just an old historic venue. Like it, and it's got the cool old marquee.
Well, we can talk about it, but us talking about it does not do it justice. You have to go to. Like, yeah, I heard stories about Athens. How great! Like you have to go and actually.
Dude, how great was that '90s bar we went to?
It
was great because it was like, hey, you people that don't want to walk around on sticky floors, like. Just check out this spot. Like it's right up your alley. The Bud Lights are cheap draft. You know, you'll be happy.
But even like the small bar, it was just like, they were all just perfect college bars. I mean, every place we went to was just like, I was just like, man, I could see myself hanging out in here every weekend. And then there was like 15 places I said that about.
And that's why a noon isn't necessarily that bad. Like a noon isn't the worst time either. Cause then you get Saturday night after. You know, bouncing around a different spot. So
yeah.
I don't think you can go wrong. I wish I had a solid food rec for Athens, but like,
I'm sure there's good restaurants, but it's more like
there's so much there to choose from. You know,
Athens is like if you're post grad right now, 23,
24, 25. Oh yeah,
and you're looking like Athens is that's where you need to go. Like you get all your guys together and go. Yeah, you'll have a blast. Now if you're kind of like a spot where you're gonna go in and be game wreckers. And where you're going to, like, make the play, Starkville could be fun. If you're into just ruffling feathers.
Oh, I've got a Dixie Highway crew. They're making their way down there. Oh, yeah. It's going to be.
That's probably the trip for you. If you're looking for something real easy, like maybe just a game day trip, Vanderbilt is the move. Mm-hmm. And then South Carolina is kind of, I guess, a blend of everything. And then you a high chance that Kentucky could win the game. So, yeah, I would rank, like, Georgia, I think that's the best trip. And then after that, like, I think it's just what you're kind of looking for.
Right.
And then obviously no SEC West, so we don't get the random road trip.
Road trip. It was a shame we got Auburn taken from us last year because I really wanted to go see that place on game day. But, hey, we're back. We're not looking back. We are back. And I do want to look back and just say, Adam Luckett, you're just giving away money to people who
I try, man.
Bet on golf. I mean, I'm up $150 in my wallet that I'm just burning and turning at the track thanks to your golf pick. So you did it again. The one you did miss on was Brooks making the cut.
Nothing before that said that was coming. Even the whole tournament was wild. Like Phil winning that is like, I was trying to like think what to compare it to. It'd be like it'd honestly be like a 13 seed, like a blue blood 13 seed that didn't have that much talent or 12 seed or whatever that barely got in the tournament and made a run to the Final Four or something.
Oh, that's how like UCLA.
So, well,
it really was UCLA. It's UCLA was first like four. That. I mean, and they should have lost round, you know?
That's what it was like. I mean, you kept 201 shot.
You kept waiting for the like, oh God, when's it gonna happen? Like I was fully expecting Kenny Perry at the Masters, you know, to just melt away. And it didn't happen. And we got an electric moment on 18. I loved it, even though it was like, all right, security, you can do a little bit better job. Like just a little bit better, you know. Yeah. They couldn't even get like Brooks Koepka to the freaking green. To finish, you know.
Obviously, the things got out of hand. They probably should have handled it different, but no one's gonna remember that 2 weeks from now.
No,
you're just gonna remember the pictures and the scene, and you watch it on YouTube and think how crazy it was. Like that was I thought it was a great moment for golf. Like that's a picture we'll see forever.
The momentum from that. It's the coals, and now they threw two logs on the fire and a can of gasoline, and that's Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, because
yes,
the clip that we got, the eye roll scene around the world, followed by Bryson's doing half hammer curls with 100-pound dumbbells in his garage. Yeah. My God, your boy Bryson, he is just God, a trip, I love him. Man. And now. Yeah. He's playing in the match.
I saw that today.
And Brady are running it back against Bryson and Aaron Rodgers July 4th, which, man, I hope Bryson – I could see Bryson and Aaron Rodgers just really hating each other. But we needed this to be Bryson Brooks. And if they don't – if the U.S. Open doesn't put those two together, then the golf folks are just morons. They got to be paired up. Eventually, because all this stuff has been off the course at this point. It hasn't been on the course. It's just straight nonsense.
We haven't really got them. Yeah, but like the Thursday, Friday be fun, but we really need them matched up in a weekend.
Well, you would need Bryson to actually be good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we also need Brooks to make the cut, which he did last week.
Only got one top five. Maybe only one. No, only one top 10 in a major. And that was when nobody was there.
He won the U.S. Open last year.
Wait, he won that one? Damn it.
Yeah.
It was the PGA.
By six strokes. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn it. God, freaking Bryson. What a turd.
Bryson was like, because that wing foot, it was tearing people up, and he was the only one to shoot under par on Sunday. Because there were a bunch of people gobbled up, and then he ran away with it. He shot like a 67 or something.
Yeah, he can kick rocks.
Yeah.
You and your math nerds, you can take your analytics and get the hell out of here.
We do. I just want them on a Saturday. Like, give them to us on a Saturday, Sunday. That's what we need. I also want, like, a buddy, Justin Thomas and Spieth. I would like to see them go head-to-head for a major. I think that's going to happen at the Masters eventually because they're both suited for that course. Yeah, we need more of that. Some of these late matchups has not been great. Phil and Brooks was good, though.
Yeah, Brooks had some chances and just was missing putts on the front.
Yeah, he just – like that course tore everybody up at least one day, and Phil
Sunday was brutal, man.
It didn't tear up Phil. Phil was under par, I think, every day, and that's why he won under par or even par every day, and that's why he won the tournament. And like that course was all about driving accuracy and driving length. Phil's made a concerted effort to get longer off the tee, but he's been all over the place driving wise, and he just hit it straight this week, and it was kind of crazy to watch.
So weird how hitting it straight, he'll take you places.
Yeah. Hitting straight, making putts.
Well, I hope y'all hit straight. Maybe playing, getting out and playing a little golf Memorial Day weekend. Maybe getting out in the pool, going to the lake. It's a big lake weekend for folks. I'll be enjoying the sun a little bit. And it's cooling down around Kentucky on Saturday. So it should make for a real nice time. And it's been a nice time talking football with you, Luckett.
Absolutely, brother. We'll have to do it again.
Always is. Well, we appreciate our friends from Manscaped. Use that promo code Roush, 20% off and free shipping. And with that phone call, we got to get out of here. Yeah. Enjoy the holiday weekend. And remember, folks, go Cats and go Kroger.